This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be discussing the use of chat and artificial intelligence to write songs. We'll be exploring the potential of this technology and how it can be used to create unique and innovative music. We'll also be discussing the challenges and opportunities that come with using AI to write songs. So stay tuned for an interesting conversation.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. Good afternoon.
Slightly stilted, but passable. Hello.
Do you think it was all right?
Yeah, and this is what I actually think is whenever I've seen any examples of student essays done this way, they're generally passable. It's not amazing, but it's okay. And I read a lot of really bad essays that were written not by AI. So I think it's creating some concerns.
So if you don't know, today I was sitting at home and I used one of these artificial intelligence apps and I said, write me an introduction for a radio interview about using artificial intelligence to write music. And that's what it came up with. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and also the criticism I've got is largely Em's delivery isn't her normal delivery. So we've also got that to freight, you know, if it had been done in a manner that sounded a little bit more casual, I could imagine I'd actually give it a couple more points in scoring. Right.
So it was definitely the speaker that let us down in this case.
Well, in the sense of all the tips on public speaking, you know, reading out aloud a piece of text is obviously less exciting and interesting than, you know, the air of off-the-cuffness.
Well, if I am going to use AI to write intros, I'm going to have to work on my delivery.
Yeah. We've learned exactly. That. Write a short intro. I think that's what I should have said, maybe.
Look, I mean, and you can be quite specific as well. You know, I mean, there's for people who are following this story on social media, there are lots of things. For example, write me a poem in the style of Homer Simpson, for example. And that idea of being able to be quite specific about length also helps as well.
What are we talking about? What is this, this article that people are fascinated with?
So last year sometime we were talking about artificial intelligence as related to a whole lot of images that were going around. And there's sort of two forms of that. One is the idea of images being generated completely from prompts. And those look a little clunky. Some of them look really, really bad. Others were mimicking the art styles of the, you know, if you said, you know, produce me a Flintstones cartoon in the style of Da Vinci, the artificial intelligence is learning the style of Da Vinci in order to produce you something new. And this is really the same technology we're talking about right now in the context of the written word. It's an artificial intelligence piece of software that is either learning your or in general, the style of how humans write, and through prompts that you give it, it's able to generate new content for you. So Warren's prompt, for example, was give me an introduction for a radio interview about this topic, and it did it. And it's able to do that in lots of different ways. Write me a poem, write me a song, write me a speech. And yes, there's elements to it that you could say is a little clunky, sounds a little bit stilted. Just imagine, though, how much better this technology is going to get as it learns more. Because that's how, if you use Google Translate used to be super clunky 2 or 3 years ago. Now it is pretty flawless.
But as I did it, Lauren, I've got to admit, I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, it's easy, it was quick, it took, you know, it stopped me from having to think about it. But that was the point. It stopped me from having to think. And I thought, wow, if this does get better and people start using it, where would I use my creativity and would I lose that skill to be able to write things?
So there's a lot of layers into what you just said. People are already using this. I've got a friend who works in the realm of policy and grant writing. She puts in the prompts to it. It does about 60% of any document that she needs to produce. Wow. She then finesses it and adds references, but it's a certain big kick in the pants. Now, it's already being used by lots of different places. The other aspect of this would be, is it going to inhibit your creativity? Will you use that? I can imagine for some jobs, this is actually a real threat. All of the creative industries, for example, one of the best ones I saw last week was the software had been given a prompt. Give me this, what was it, a synopsis for a new ABC television show that gets Screen Australia funding. And when it read exactly like a show I bet the ABC's already put this into production.
Oh, wow.
It was so like and this isn't me throwing the ABC under the bus, but you understand that as a public broadcaster, they do certain styles of shows that wouldn't be commercially, that wouldn't, you know, you would generally wouldn't see on commercial networks. So this was, you know, the outback relations of, you know, it was such a, I was reading it and I thought, this is actually so close. It almost reads like a parody. So that idea of learning, and in that example, learning what other shows text-wise or synopsis-wise have the ABC produced to generate something new, raises so many questions, both good and bad. Good in the sense that perhaps it can generate new ideas, but you'll still have screenwriters flesh it out, versus what happens to all the actual people who make money currently from creative industries. What happens to an audience who can't tell the difference between an actual Nick Cave song versus one that's been generated by this technology?
So wild. So obviously you just mentioned that AI written stuff is already happening. It's already being used. You've got students that are using it to write essays and, you know, it's really helpful for your friend's job. But surely, I mean, if it's that good, surely it's literally just going to take over the creative industry. Is that what we should be scared of?
Well, Nick Cave, I mentioned him not by accident. He wrote an essay for his blog or his website the other day about this. People have been asking the software to write Nick Cave songs and then they've been sending them to him. And
Are they like his songs?
Well, look, I have got one on the screen. I'll read you out just the opening. In the depths of the night, I hear a call, a voice that echoes through the hall. It's a siren song that pulls me in, takes me to a place where I can't begin. Not great. But not dissimilar.
Yeah,
not dissimilar to very early Nick Cave. Now, you're talking about someone who's had a career of, 40 years, and the technology has only been doing this for, since November. So that idea of how much better this will get, and the fact that that's still passable and probably better than some of the music that's in the top 40 right now, raises some interesting issues. But his essay was about how he sees this as replication. He's critical of it because he sees it as copying. And certainly from the university's perspective, and I spent a lot of last year dealing with plagiarism cases, this raises some genuine questions about, can I set an assignment for a student and know they'll write it themselves, given that I do not currently have the software that's going to detect that they've used AI, because the AI is generating new content each time, unlike if you'd straight away plagiarized somewhere where the current software detects that and says, you stole that from this book written in this year, bad you. Not quite the same for AI when new technology is, the technology is creating new content.
We're chatting to Associate Professor Lauren Roseborn from the University of Melbourne about the use of AI to do anything really, including writing songs that Nick Cave thought was not that good and not representative of his song. Lauren, just touching on that in academia, is it going to make things like totally different in terms of a student experience? I mean, I'm thinking of my times back at university and having to write, you know, papers and what have you. It's a lot of research, a lot of work. If I could just type it in or, you know, dictate it into an AI chatbot or something and it comes up with a skeleton, it's going to save lots of work.
Yeah, as a writer, the best advice I've been given and that I give to other people is you can't edit a blank page, right? So having some content to work on is a huge start.
Mm.
So I think for a lot of students, particularly students who struggle to write in English, this is going to be an enormous benefit for them. But that benefit in the sense that what I'm marking you on in your ability to write an essay is not just your ability to do the research, it's your ability to structure the essay and to write it and to execute an argument. If the execution of an argument, if the structure has actually come from a piece of software, how much of that work is your own? But students are already doing this. You know, there was a study that came out last week, I think at Deakin University, where one in five of their assignments, they think, had used this technology.
Oh, wow.
We don't have the detection software to know for sure, but I do know that it is very, very common for students who English is not their first language to write a highly plagiarized essay in another language and put it through Google Translate and then submit it. And that gets often, not always, but often gets around plagiarism detectors.
But then that whole thing of, you know, when you are given something you want to write, you've got an assignment, that thinking process of that blank paper is when it's all thought about, what am I going to do? That's the learning that happens, isn't it? So essentially that step has gone.
Yeah. And so then you hear people say things like, okay, well, this means that universities have to rethink how they assess students. So, for example, do we need to set more exams? Now, I teach subjects such as the politics of sex. What am I going to have an exam on, right? Because there's not a set of things I need you to memorize in, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours. What I want you to do is build an argument in the course of a research essay, because I'm there to teach you research skills as well as argument skills. This really raises questions also, though. Has university been seen by students as a product, in which case they've bought a product and they're buying in their minds a degree? The idea of gaming the system perhaps doesn't seem so foreign, as contrasted perhaps with someone who is going to university for the idea of sort of submerging in an intellectual environment and are looking forward to the opportunity to do research.
Outside of the university example, and speaking of how, you know, the AI basically gets more and more information, munches on that, and then becomes better at what it's doing, are we going to see a world where it is really AI dominated, do you feel?
Yeah, if you think of any other example of where we've got technology to do things simpler, easier, cheaper, we've never gotten rid of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We've always not only kept it, but run with it. And this is the reason you don't have, you know, self-checkouts move into supermarkets, then move out again. And, you know, all those other examples, we haven't given up email, for example. There's pretty much, I can't think, or maybe there'll be a caller who'll correct me, but I can't think of an example, because humans are lazy, where we've gotten something that makes life easier, cheaper, faster, and then said, nah, I want to do it old school. Give me a laundry board and I'll sit by the river and wash my clothes. We don't do that as humans. So I think that this horse has probably already bolted.
Wild.
So then what do we do with this? How do we, for those of us who, you know, generate content for a living, how do we justify our existence?
Wow, I think it's absolutely fascinating. And the other thing I'm thinking about too is the pop music industry. So let's say, will it, you know, bring about a whole new lot of pop stars that just request a song from a AI application?
Particularly given that something that the software has that most pop songwriters don't have is also the ability to tap into the psychology stuff of it. For example, what is the types of lyrics that humans like best? What stick in the brain most? What patterns of music? And that stuff is sometimes musicians know that intellectually or even intuitively, but don't know why they're doing it. Technically, the software should actually be able to do that. It's the, you know, right recipes, for example, that really hit the right notes to, you know, delight the brain. I don't think we're that far away from that stuff yet.
Yeah, I feel like definitely if an artificial intelligence was to write a pop song, I feel like it would have to be a hit, because they know what makes a hit.
Yeah.
And which I'm interested in all of these experiments, play me the AI song and play me the human pop song and tell me if audiences not only can tell a difference, but is there a difference in preference? I imagine that we'll say we like the human one if we know it's a human, but what if we don't know? When I read that ABC plot for a Screen Australia show, it was thoroughly convincing to me. And I'm someone who's written 11 books on film and TV, right? So it's a field I know pretty well. And I read that synopsis and it felt totally plausible. Give it a little more time. This stuff is going to be so much smoother.
Well, expect songs written by robots. Expect poems.
Everything.
We will be robots.
Everything by robots. Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this afternoon.
Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.